I'm John Dankosky from Next and the New England News Collaborative. The history of colonial Americans systematically taking land and disenfranchising Native people is well-documented history, but that's how it's often treated, as history. Throughout the 20th century and into this century, state and federal governments have systematically removed Native American children from their homes, placing them in boarding schools or in the homes of white families. In the 1970s, 25% of Native children around the country were removed from their families. And as recently as 2002 to 2015, Wabanaki children in Maine entered foster care on average 5 times the rate of non-Native children. These practices have left lasting impacts on families and Native communities around the U.S. A new documentary, Dawnland, explores this practice in the state of Maine, and a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was held to investigate the removal of Native children from their homes. The Maine Wabanaki State Child Welfare Truth and Reconciliation Commission spent 2 years speaking with people from the Wabanaki Confederation, a group of 5 tribal nations, about the impact of these practices. Here's Dawn Neptune Adams, who was removed from her home at a young age and placed in foster care. She's now an environmental activist.
You know, after being in my foster home for so long and not being able to even admit to being Penobscot or talk about it or be curious about it or anything, I was like, yes, I'm finally Penobscot again. And I was going to my first powwow, and I did nothing but hide because I didn't know how to dance. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is the loss of identity. How people going from one world to another, they don't belong in either. They don't feel like they belong in either.
Here to talk with us about this documentary and what led to it is Esther Ann. She's a child welfare expert and the co-director of Maine Wabanaki Reach. She helped to establish the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Maria Gerard is a member of the Penobscot Nation. She's health and wellness coordinator for Maine Wabanaki Reach and a founder of Dawnland Environmental Defense. Esther began by telling us why this Truth and Reconciliation Commission was convened.
So the Truth Commission was an attempt to bring some healing to the issue of forced removal of Native children from our communities. Native children were removed at a higher rate than other children through child welfare programs and policies. And even though this law was passed in 78, to mitigate that, Maine still had one of the highest rates of removal. So in 1999, we got together to see what we could do about helping caseworkers comply with the law. And in 2008, decided to embark on this process for 3 purposes, truth, healing, and change. The truth comes in people sharing their story, that truth-telling process of giving your story and giving voice to what has happened to you, whether you were a child in foster care, whether you lost your children to foster care, whether you were a caseworker that took children away. Everybody has a story to share. And that healing came in that truth-telling process. And the third goal of the commission was change, and that came in their report that they released in June 2015.
Esther, can you talk about the struggles that you had in getting people to come forward and tell their stories? As important as they were to this process, there were a lot of people who felt as though it would be difficult for them to do that, especially in front of, in some cases, a group of strangers.
Early on, you know, we've had a lot of fears. Ever since we started talking about this process, we were really afraid that once people start sharing, they're going to struggle. And, you know, I remember once we said, well, if people start talking about this stuff, they're going to start drinking and drugging and hurting themselves. And when we sat back for a moment, we realized that we were already doing that, that keeping it inside was also causing difficulties and also causing struggles. And we knew from the example of Denise Altivater, who was the first person to share her story and share it very publicly in many different venues, she really was the role model for tribal people to show them that you can share this pain and it has less power over you the more you share it, when you share it in a supportive way with people who are going to give you all the comfort and the support and love that you need.
I had wanted to ask you, actually, about Denise, because that public testimony that's shown in the documentary, it's something that comes up over and over again. She says at least once that she's not quite sure why she's crying. And you hear this from a number of the people who are giving their own testimony, that they're crying perhaps for the first time. They're not quite sure why they're crying. Esther, how did that strike you, this idea that people are letting forth emotionally about this and are in some ways even confused where this emotion is coming from, telling these terrible stories?
It's no wonder that it's confusing, because when something traumatic happens, the human mind is really brilliant, and the mind will often bury that if it's too hard. And there are even cases where, you know, the mind often it can even split off into another personality if what's happening to the body is too traumatic. So it was of no surprise to me that people don't know why they're crying. I know what scene you're talking about. I was providing Denise that support when she was doing that very public testimony. And I don't know if you can hear the audio on the film, but she says, "I don't know what's wrong with me.
I never cried. I don't know what's wrong with me."
And it's like, there's nothing wrong with you. And that is the message that we have brought to our tribal communities when we educate people about history and about trauma, that there is absolutely nothing wrong with us. It's easy to think that there's something wrong with you when you're dealing with Native people have the highest rates of socioeconomic distress of any population. We are the victims of colonization. Maine, the state of Maine, and this country has happened on our territory. So it's no wonder that when people start sharing that and on a cellular level start feeling that it's confusing and it's scary and it feels like you're going to lose your mind. But that's not possible. That is not possible for us to lose our mind. And what Denise showed time and time again is that you can go to those places and then you can come back. And she said that every time she does it, it gets a little easier and more people understand. You know, I remember when I was in college and I thought there was something very wrong with me. You know, there was not a lot of Native students on campus as it was. And in my class, I was the only Native person in my social work program. And I was the only one asking for extra help and asking for extensions on papers and asking for incompletes and, you know, all these reasons why I couldn't show up to school on time. And it's easy to think that there's something wrong with you when that's happening. And now that I've been able to learn about history and take a step back, I know that there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with Native people. This is exactly what a population would look like that has been targeted for destruction and has had relentless strategies and attempts at genocide for the past 500 years, and it's not over. It's every day there's still acts of genocide against Native people. So my mother would say that it's quite the opposite, that Native people are the most brilliant people on the planet, because it's like an upside-down triangle, and we're at the bottom. You know, we've got the weight of everything on us, and we're still here. We're still here. We still know who we are. We know our language. We know our ceremonies. We are in touch with our values. And we're still living our lives, thinking of the seventh generation ahead of us.
Marie, I'm wondering how, as a historian, what Esther just said resonates with you.
Everything she said resonates with me. I couldn't agree more. We are just trying to make it in a world where we have an exorbitant amount of barriers set up against us. And as she said, these aren't things of the past. These are things that are ongoing. When I first started working, doing the health and wellness work in the tribal communities, and we spent a good amount of time talking about history and understanding historical trauma, I remember that there was one elder who spoke up, and she said that she didn't like that word, historical trauma. She preferred to use intergenerational trauma, because by saying historical trauma, it made it seem as though everything were in the past, and it isn't. So everything that Esther says resonates with me. We have been up against so much, from the theft of our homelands and the destruction of our life ways, the deforestation of the forest, the damming of the rivers, you name it. It's been a long few hundred years, and I see the work that we are doing now as a step in a different direction, where people are taking that knowledge of history and they're using it for the better. They're saying that they don't want to perpetuate that story any longer. And so now we're moving in a new direction, and I'm feeling a little bit hopeful. Of course, I'm forever the eternal optimist, but I feel like the first step was to be able to tell our stories and to be heard.
Esther Ann and Maria Gerard, I want to thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.